you take your Bibles and go with me to Luke chapter number 17 tonight. Luke chapter number 17. I appreciate everyone being here tonight. I guess all of you remember Brother Clark Bossier. He got a really wonderful opportunity this week. He has a congressman that is in his church. His name is Roger Williams. And he arranged for Clark to open Congress this week in prayer on Thursday. It was the day that he did it. And so I haven't had a chance to talk to Clark since then. He's been busy and I've been busy, but I watched his services this morning. And so the congressman was there and they played the prayer that Clark prayed. And Roger Williams said that the Speaker of the House said, you know, we want Clark to come back and pray for us again one of these days. And then he said the Secretary of the Congress, the lady that sits to the left or right there, I guess Clark had to submit his prayer. I'm sure that that's the way that works. He had to write everything down. And Roger said he submitted a prayer about like this, but he preached a sermon about long like this. And the secretary told Roger Williams, she said, you know, he made me cry, but he got off of script is what he did. And so if you're interested in that, I'm quite sure you can find that maybe on YouTube. You can go to their, if you have a Facebook page, you can go to Willow Park Baptist Church. About 45 minutes or something like that into the service, so they play that. And but it's just an exceptional honor. Because he prayed really a really good prayer, and to even let a Baptist preacher pray before Congress is really something. And so, you know, God's doing some things. God's working, and we need to be grateful for that. Luke chapter number 17, we're going to read verse number 11 down through verse number 19, a very familiar story. The Bible says, and it came to pass, when he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves to the priest. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. This summer, CJ and I watched a show that we kind of really enjoyed. It was called The 1% Club. Anybody watch that show on Fox? CJ, nobody watches TV like you and I do. Well, we're old folks, so we watch TV, but it's a game show. And it was really kind of an interesting game show because they started out with 100 people. And so they would ask each 14 different questions throughout this program of brain teasers. They had all these brain teasers. Some of them were math and nature. Some of them were observation. But you had to solve these brain teasers in 30 seconds. Now, the first question that they would ask, 90% of Americans would get that right. And that's kind of the way it would go. You would hear these 90% questions, and you would think, who in the world could get that wrong? Nobody would get that wrong, but invariably, some of these really smart people, they would get the 90% question. And then they would ask an 80% question. They would ask a 70% question, a 60% question, a 50% question. And as the game went on, it got harder and harder and harder, till they got all the way down. And if you missed one, you were out. And so when they got down to the 5% question, was one of the next to the last question they asked. Usually there was just 3 or 4, maybe sometimes 5 people that would make it that far. And then they would ask that question, and invariably they would get down to many times just one person. Sometimes there would be 3 or 4. And if that person could answer that last question, which only 1% of Americans would get right, then they would win the game and they would win $100,000. Or if they had to share it, they would share that. And so if they answered that 1% question, they were in the 1% club. So when I was studying this text this week, I began to think about that. Now, the ratio is different here. In the 1%, you have 100 and only a 1%. But here you have 10 people and you have one. And so I just entitled my message tonight, The 10% Club. I know when you saw that, you're thinking, what in the world is this message going to be about? But we've got 10 people. And it boils down to only one does something right. And so I just entitled it The 10% Club. If you look in our text tonight, in verse number 11, the Bible says, and it came to pass, and he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria into Galilee. Now, something is really interesting if you study this text, but because John 11 fits in between verse number 10 and verse number 11 of this text. Now, John 11 is the text where Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Remember, he goes to where Mary and Martha was. Lazarus has been dead. He'd been dead for 4 days. And Jesus goes to the tomb and he rolls the stone away and he says, Lazarus comes forth. And Lazarus comes forth. And when you read the end of John chapter number 11, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious crowd, they say, hey, man, people are going to be drawn to Jesus. People are going to follow Jesus. We have got to do something to stop Jesus. And the Bible says that they committed themselves to put Jesus to death. And then the Bible says that Jesus no more goes to Jerusalem. Matter of fact, he goes around. And so, and when we come to this text in Luke chapter number 17, the Bible says that now that he has came to, as it came to pass, he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. At this point, Jesus is not wanting to be seen because his time has not come. Jesus is kind of want to be being incognito, as it were. He's not wanting to draw attention to himself. And when you understand that, that makes this text so much more important. And when you come to verse number 12, the Bible says that he entered into a certain village. We believe that this was kind of on the outskirts of the town. We don't believe that it was really in the middle of the town. But he said when he came to a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers and which stood afar off. Now, leprosy in that day was a very serious disease. It was a skin disease. Your skin would get all kind of boils and it would get really scaly. And if it was not treated and if it would go on, you would begin to lose limbs and your eyebrows would fall out and your hair would fall out and you would become very unseemly. And some people say because of that, you would put off a very distinct, awful odor. And so, you know, if you've studied the Bible enough, you know that when people were diagnosed with leprosy, they had to leave their family, they had to leave their friends, and they were cast on the outside of the city. They were isolated. They had to be by themselves. And when someone that didn't have leprosy approached them, they had to say, unclean, unclean, and they would pass on the other side. Jesus is coming into this village. He's coming into this town. And there was these 10 men. And the Bible says that they stood afar off. They were some distance away. But they begin to cry out to Jesus. The Bible says in verse number 13 that they lift up their voice. And they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Jesus, have mercy on us. We need your healing power. Jesus, we need you to do something in your life. You know what? At this point, they wasn't ashamed of Jesus. They wasn't too busy for Jesus. They didn't have too many other things going to call out to Jesus. Why? Because they needed something from Jesus. They need healing from Jesus. They needed hope from Jesus. And so when Jesus came along, they said, hey, Savior, have mercy upon us. But notice the next thing here. The Bible says in verse number 14, and when he saw them, he said unto them, go thy way. Go thy way and show thyself unto the priest. That is a very insignificant statement, isn't it? Jesus is going to healing. He's with those words, he's granting healing to these lepers. He doesn't make a big deal out of it. If you and I had the power to heal, we'd make a big deal out of it. We would say, hey, everybody get around. I'm fixing to do something that nobody's ever seen. Hey, everybody gather around, and we would get those 10 lepers there, and we would make this big deal, and I don't know what all we would say, but in Jesus' name be healed or something. We would want everybody to know that we had the power. But Jesus just said, go thy way and show thyself to the priest. Insignificant, isn't it? But yet it was filled with power. I bought a book. I told my Sunday school class this morning. I bought a book, and as a matter of fact, I said it in church. It's A Million Little Miracles. Man, it gives us all, it gives me all kinds of things about things that is happening in our world. And Jesus, how many miracles that we just overlook every single day. Astronomers estimate the existence of more than 2 trillion galaxies. I can't comprehend that. You cannot comprehend that. But I want you to think about this. The Milky Way galaxy is a huge galaxy. But astronomers say that there is 2 trillion galaxies out there. There are only 2 visible in the northern hemisphere, and that is the Milky Way galaxy and Andromeda, or in the observable galaxies. Each of those galaxies have an average of 100 billion stars. If you do the math, that adds up to 200 sextillion stars in the observable universe. That is 25 trillion stars per person on each planet. Several years ago, you could buy a little documentation where you could name a star. You've got 25 trillion stars to choose from, and so choose wisely, amen? But you know the one that created all of that? The one that spoke that into existence on the 4th day, the one that said, hey, let there be stars, is the same one that told those lepers, hey, just go show thyself to the priest. The human body is complex, isn't it? Do you know that your heart beats 100,000 times per day? Do you know that in a 24-hour period, you will pump 2,000 gallons through your 60 miles of blood vessels in your body? God spoke that into the existence. It is the same God, it is the same Jesus that told these lepers, hey, just go show yourself to the priest. We serve a big God today. We serve a God that can heal and help and solve any problem, no matter how big it is. Because see, to you and I, it may really seem big, and to you and I, it may seem really large, but you get to thinking about the power that God has. You think about all that He has created, all that He can do with just a mere spoken word. And I'm telling you, there's nothing in our life that is too big, that is too complicated, that God cannot solve those type of things. And these lepers had this deadly disease, and God said, hey, go show thyself unto the priest. The text says that it came to pass in verse number 14, as they went, they were cleansed. They wasn't healed immediately. They had to obey the commandment of the Lord. So they started towards the priest. I don't know the distance that they had to travel. Probably it was a fairly little bit of distance, maybe because they were on the outside of the town, and maybe they had to go into the middle of the town where maybe the synagogue was. And so there was a little distance. They were going to have to walk a little distance. I don't know how far they had to walk before that they were healed, but if you will indulge me for just a few moments, I believe this, in studying this, nobody has said this, but I believe that they walked almost all the way to where the priest was before they were healed. And then when they got almost to the priest, I believe that they were instantly healed. I don't have anything to back up. They may have taken one step and been immediately healed. But I know that they had to be obedient. I know that they had to obey the Lord. I know that they had to do what God told them to do. And the Bible says as they went their way at some point that they were healed. At that point, they have to choose. Do we continue to do what Jesus told us to do? Or do we go back and give thanks and praise Jesus? I meditated on that a long time this week. Because I think there's a lot of Christians, and I fall into this category. So I'm talking about me, so you don't have to get nervous, okay? But I think there's a lot of Christians today that we're so consumed about doing right, and we're so consumed about doing what God has told us, and we're so consumed about making sure that everybody knows that we're in the right and that we're obedient. We're so consumed with that till we never take time to fall at the feet of Jesus and we worship Jesus. It happens to people that's come to church all of their life like me. I've been in church, as I've told you, every time the doors are open all of my life. I read my Bible, I pray, I give, I do a lot of the things that God wants me to do. And if I'm not careful, I can focus in upon that. If I'm not careful, I can make sure that, hey, I'm just being obedient. I'm just doing what God wants me to do. I deserve my healing. I deserve what I'm getting in life because, hey, I'm doing all those good things. If we're not careful, these nine could have fallen into that category. Go show the priest. That's what they're doing. They're going towards the priest. They're doing what Jesus had told them. But the Bible says that there was one. He wasn't like the other ones. The Bible says that he was a Samaritan. He realized that he was cleansed. He realized what Jesus has done for him, and he couldn't just be a follower of the law, but he had to go back over here and worship and fall at the feet of Jesus and give him thanks. Notice what he does in the text. The Bible says in verse number 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, what did he do? He turned back. I'm not going to the priest first, but I'm going to go back to the healer. I'm going to go back to the one that healed me. I'm going to go back to Jesus. I'm going to worship for a while. Y'all won't like this one, but I like this next phrase. And he, with a loud voice, glorified God. I found something interesting this week. Luke likes that phrase. Seven times in the book of Luke, when he's describing people that comes to the Lord, he describes them as coming to the Lord with a loud voice of praise. The first time, remember when Elizabeth and Mary got together in Luke chapter number 1, and Mary comes to Elizabeth and she tells him that she's pregnant, and the Bible says that the baby leaps in the womb of Elizabeth, and Luke says, hey, that she began with a loud voice to praise the Lord. Now, the reason that I like that, because I've been loud all of my life. All of my life, I've been loud. When I was just about 10 or 11 years old, I used to have a lot of air in these lungs, and I could be really loud. And I would sing in church, and I'm telling you, I would rear back, and I would cut it out, and I would sing as loud as I could. And them old people would say, matter of fact, they'd go to my mother and they would tell her, hey, you need to tell him he needs to sing a little quieter. And my mother, who loves me, who thinks I was wonderful, said, you mind your own business. I'll let him sing as loud as he wants to. Amen. So I've been loud all of my life. And so when I read texts like this, that he came back and he was worshiping and he was glorifying the Lord with a loud voice, it just lets me know, hey, I'm not as weird as everybody thinks I am. Amen. I want you to go with me to Revelation chapter number 5, because here's what you better do. You better get used to being loud. Because when you get to heaven, if this passage is correct, guess what? You're going to be loud. But this is a scene that is around the throne of heaven. I'm going to begin reading with verse number 1. Of Revelation chapter number 5, the Bible says, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with what? A loud voice. What is he proclaiming? Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, nor under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it has been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders, you and I are represented in the 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us our God and king and priest, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders. The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Here it is. Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings, and every creature which is in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them. And I heard saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sat upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever. Ever. If you don't like to sing, if you don't like to praise the Lord, if you don't like to be loud, if you don't get excited about some of the things that God does, listen to me, you're going to be miserable in heaven. That text right there says, man, we're going to fall on our faces, we're going to worship and we're going to praise, and we're going to do it with loud voices. We're going to cry out to our Savior, Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb to receive glory and honor. I don't think churches ought to be dead. Man, I think there ought to be some life to it. I think there ought to be some excitement to it. Tonight we're singing those Christmas songs, and I got to complaining about I don't have the Christmas spirit, and then we sing it again, and then I got in the Christmas spirit. Amen. Can you imagine what must have been going through the mind of this leper? He was hopelessly sick with leprosy, and he was healed. And he said, you know what? I'm going to go back to where Jesus is. Before he even got there, he started glorifying the Lord in a loud voice. But notice what else he does in the text. The Bible says in verse number 16, when he gets to where Jesus was, he falls on his face down at the feet of Jesus. I see humility in that. He knew that he couldn't heal himself. He knew that he had nothing in himself that could bring healing. No doctors nor anybody else. He knew that he was purely a miracle of God. And he humbles himself and he falls at the feet of Jesus. And then the Bible says that he does something else in the text. Then he gives thanks. He praises first. He worships second when he falls at the feet of Jesus. And then he begins to say, Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for restoring me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done for me. I've said all of that to say this. What if you lost everything that you were not grateful for? That's a deep statement right there. What if in this life you had everything taken from you that you were not grateful for? I heard a preacher this week tell this story. He said, when I was just a little boy, my dad every Saturday would take us to the barber shop and we'd get a haircut every week. And then we'd go to Bob Evans, which we don't have any around here, I don't think, but we would go to Bob Evans and we would eat sausage, biscuits, and gravy. And then after we would eat that, then we would go to Kmart. And once we got to Kmart, my mother had given my dad a list of things that she wanted him to buy. And so he would go throughout the store and he would buy that list that my mother had given him. And he said before we would leave that store, he'd say, boys, he had a brother, he would say, boys, do you want to go over to the toy section and look at the cars? And he would take them over to the toy section and they would look at the cars and they would buy those little matchbox cars. Anybody remember those matchbox cars? I had a whole collection of them. I had a big old round tire case, you know, and I'd put them all in their little cases, you know. And every week they would buy one of those little matchbox cars. They would go home and this preacher said, you know, they lived in a single wide trailer house and the floor was linoleum, and him and his brother would get down on the floor and they would race those matchbook cars to see who could beat one another every week, and they would just enjoy their time playing with them. And he said one Saturday morning they got up and they went and got their haircut like they always did. They went to Bob Evans and got their biscuits and sausage and gravy like they always did. And they went to Kmart. And when they got to Kmart, their dad had the list that the mother had given them. And so they went all through Kmart and they got everything on that list. And then they went straight to the checkout. Dad didn't say, do you want to go look at the cars? The little boys were taught not to ask their dad any questions at that point. And so they got in the car, and the one little boy just couldn't wait. And as they were going down the road, he said, Dad, can I ask you something? And Dad said, yes, son. He said, why didn't we get a car today? And he said, my dad, driving down the road, adjusted the rearview mirror where I could see him in the back. And he said, Daddy loves you. And he said, you know what? My job is to make sure that I raise grateful children. He said, I love it when I buy you those cars and I watch you race them and I watch you and your brother play with them. That brings a lot of joy to my life. But he said, my job is to make sure that I raise grateful children. And he said, you didn't say thank you for your car that I bought you last week. He said, I was only 7 or 8 years old when that took place, but it just hit me like a brick. He said, that next week I was the best boy that I've ever been in my life. He said, that next Saturday when Dad came along and Dad said, hey, it's time to go get our haircuts. They went and got their haircuts, and then they went to Bob Evans and got their biscuits and gravy and sausage. And then they went to Kmart. Dad got out his list, as he always does, and he began to buy everything on that list. Then when he got through, he said, boys, do you want to go look at the cars? And those boys said, yes, Daddy, we want to go look at the cars. And so they went and they looked at those cars, and they each got a car. He said, when we got home, we took those cars out of the package, and me and my brother, we was in the floor, and we was starting to race them, and then it dawned on me. I hadn't thanked Daddy for it. He said, I got up. He said, my dad was sitting over there in the recliner, and he said, I run over there. And he said, I climbed up in his lap, and he said, I hugged him. I kissed him. He said, Daddy, you're the best daddy in all the world. Daddy, I love you. He said, even kissed him on the forehead. But what would happen in your life if you lost everything that you was ungrateful for? You see, that's the season that we're in. We're in the season where we ought to be grateful. I'm grateful for CJ. Not everybody can live with me. Isn't that right, baby? Even though I am fairly easy to live with. But you know what? We have a peaceful, we have always had a peaceful existence. Tell the truth. We have. She's not out there trying to change me, make me into something that I'm not, because she knows she can't do it anyway. I'm not trying to change her. I love her. She loves me. And you know what? I'm grateful that God brought her into my life. What if I'm not grateful for her? What if God said, CJ, not going to be in your life anymore? It'd devastate me. I think about the three girls that God has given me, Andrea and Shauna and Alyssa. This afternoon, I was watching my daughter that lives, my oldest daughter that lives in North Carolina. She was singing a special in the choir. They always hated me when she sang, because she would sing when she was a teenager, and I would sit on the front row and I would just cry when she was singing. This afternoon, I'm in my office all by myself, and she's singing, and I'm just crying. I'm grateful for her. I've got to see the world through my middle daughter, Shauna. They've traveled all over the world. Why anybody would come from a little town of 5,000 that never went anywhere growing up, and now they go all over the world? I've got to see the world through her eyes. And you know what? As I talked to her this morning, I sure am grateful for her. My baby daughter, the spoiled one, the bratty one, the one that nobody, that the sisters don't like because they always pick on her. She was an accident by far. And everybody said, she'll be your greatest blessing. And you know what? She is. What if I wasn't thankful for them and God took them? I'm 61 years old. I don't look it, do I? I'm 61 years old. I don't look it, do I? Amen. I learned that from Brother Strunk. Y'all know Chad's 55 years old today. Somebody told him he only looked like he was about 30 or 35. I don't even know where I was going with that now. Oh, I know. But you know what? I'm in good health. I don't take any medicines. I don't go to the doctor, even though my wife tells me, you need to go to the doctor, and I tell her to mind her own business. But you know what? If I'm not grateful for that health, man, I can get out here and still work. I hurt like Dickens when I do it, but you know what? I can still do it. You know what? I'm grateful for it. I'm grateful for a church that I can come to. We're not perfect. There's not a perfect church. If you go to a perfect church, you need to leave because you just made it imperfect. But you know what? I'm grateful for a church that we can come to and that we can worship. I'm grateful that you let me stay here. I've been here 19 years. Is that long? 19 years. Can you believe that? Brother Chris put up with me 19 years. I'm grateful to you for that. But what if I become ungrateful? God said, I'm taking it away. 10 of these guys, and I'm done. They all had a deadly disease. Jesus, have mercy on us. Jesus, have mercy on us. Go show thyself to the priest. They go, and as they were going, they were healed. 9 of them, for whatever reason, didn't think it was necessary to turn around and be grateful, but one of them came back and fell at the feet of Jesus and said, thank you. Are you grateful? We're blessed beyond measure. Maybe tonight, whether you're there in your seat or you gather around this altar, maybe tonight we just need to say, God, thank you. Lord, we love you tonight. And God, so often I take things for granted. I don't have time to sit up here and tell how good you've been to me. And God, I realize that I don't deserve any of it. That's not false humility, it's just the facts. God, over and over and over, you've blessed my life and you've blessed my family. God, you've put me in a good church. You've given me a wonderful wife. And God, I could just go on and on and on and on. And God, I pray tonight, I just want you to know that I'm grateful and I'm thankful. And God, help me not to ever take it for granted, your blessing. God, I pray tonight as we have this invitation, maybe there would be those that would just maybe sit at their chair, or maybe they want to gather around this altar tonight and just thank you for the blessings in their lives. God, I pray that you'd have your will and your way in our invitation tonight. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with us? Linda's going to play. If God's spoken to you tonight, you come.